Have you all on Healthy Holy Conversations. They are not as frequent as I would like for them to be, but that's because I'm bivocational. So we'll start at the gate, like a good church service, and we'll ask you at the gate, you know, if y'all want to donate, give, do anything. We'll put that up again tonight. What I do ask is around the support of it. Please, please, please support the Healthy Holy Conversations. And tonight, our topic is major. Y'all give me just a moment, trying to set the screen on Facebook so everybody can see us, and make sure that everybody has view to see us. So I'll do that again. So good evening. Again, we are here, Healthy Holy Conversations, and super excited about the guests that I have tonight. I have sisters on here that are going to come and talk about elder wellness with me. And one, both of them are dear to me. One is my Sora. I appreciate Alexis for coming. And one, she's just super dear to me. Like, she my fake admin for Healthy and Holy. She reminds me to do stuff before I can even remind myself to do it. And so we have who y'all probably already know, because she's super duper famous in my world. Olivia wants to take. So she got a whole fan club. I love it. I go to her website like, man, I want to be like her when I grow up. So I love it. Thank y'all for coming. And tonight we are talking about elder wellness in the Black faith community. Mm-hmm. And first of all, introduce yourselves. Like, what do y'all want to say? Y'all know how we do on Healthy Holy. What is the soundbite that the people need to know about you that brought y'all to this conversation?
I am an ordained clergy and a licensed professional counselor. And so I get the privilege of merging faith and mental health in my daily work and all of the things. And so what interests me when Margaret and I we're just talking, just you know, casually one day, and the conversation just came up about, you know, just how amazing our elders are in the Black community, and how they're living so long and full and doing all of the things or what have you. And so I, you know, just was interested in being able to see what I could add to the conversation. So I'm just glad to be hanging out with Miss Margaret. Of course, my baby sis in real life and other places too. Miss Alexis.
Hey everyone, I'm Alexis. I am a advocate for the geriatric community. I have my assistant living administrator license as well as personal care home. I've been in elder care for about 8 years now. I currently manage a personal care home. So I'm just excited to have this conversation to see what all of it entails.
All right, well, let's have it. So this is how y'all know how healthy holy conversations go. It's I got on this topic, and then I put the buzz out, and Olivia bit with me, because our elders are living longer, like much longer than what used to be life expectancy in the Black faith community. I gave an example of my dad. My dad lived all of his 3 score and 10 plus 2, and nobody expected him to live that long. Let's just be clear. He had, you know, my dad, he lived his full life. That's what we said at the funeral. He lived an entire full life. Like if anybody came in and said he missed out on anything, he did not. My daddy saw the world. My daddy would drive from Georgia to Vegas because he didn't like planes. Like he would do that and lived his full life. But his life expectancy wasn't supposed to be how he lived, because he did. He was a Vietnam veteran and saw active wartime. So he experienced the effects of Agent Orange. He had cancer. He had other ailments that came from being in wartime service. And, you know, how he passed away was something that he in no way thought that he would have dealt with. He actually thought he had COVID and couldn't find out he had congestive heart failure. And didn't even think, you know, like this is what I need to be looking into. And so, you know, what is happening in our community is that how we used to see our elders. And I got this. I was watching an old video of Bishop Eddie Long, and he was bold enough near the end of his life to bring in a service to talk about end of life planning. And when the participants said, well, he's like, well, Bishop, I'm not, he said, my end of life planning is looking like cruises and airplanes. And I said, you know what? That brother is right though. You know, and so he looked elderly. He admitted that he was a senior citizen. That's what he said in the recording. And he said, you know, he appreciated Bishop for the end of life planning, which is what our churches normally do. What our faith does for our elders, right? We want to make sure the wheel together. Want to make sure, want to make sure, you know, y'all know what we on. Y'all want to make sure we getting a little 10% in the inheritance. You know, that's, you're a pastor. Don't, you know, don't blink three times and move forward, because that's, you know, want to make sure that this member, the resolution is correct. And so this man sparked my interest, because he was like, I'm not, my end of life planning looks like cruise ships and airplanes. And I was like, high five. So, you know, and we're going to get some statistics throughout this, but how are you all seeing that in the communities you are in, as we're watching our elders, that their wellness is becoming very important because they're living longer. And so wellness is not looking like planning funerals and planning this end of life movement, but it's actually looking like, what's my next steps in the retirement? And they actually get to plan those. So what is that looking like, Olivia, for you? In private practice and being very active in Black faith community, being able to merge both of those.
Yeah. It's really interesting to see for me, one of my Facebook friends just threw her mom a 70th birthday party. And when I tell you just the, I don't know her mother, but you know, she posted like clips of the mom's grand entrance and all of the things, and you know, sashayed into the banquet hall that was done for her, and all the poses, and she's doing all this, that, and the other. And so that is when I hear elder in the Black community, that is the image that comes up for me now. What the image that used to come up was what I knew to be like, say, my grandmother or her mother, right, would be, you know, this, the lady with the big church hat and, you know, dressed to the nines, you know, church was a fashion show type of thing, a serious thing, but, you know, definitely, you know, looking their best. Whereas what I see, you know, now is a shift in terms of what it looks like, you know, to be, you know, living your best life. Like, I didn't spend my whole life raising, you know, children and serving all these other people just to finish and be left with nothing. No, I am, you know, living my best life, and I'm going to allow myself to be celebrated and have all my friends come, and we're taking, she had some pictures with some childhood friends. This 70-year-old, this woman was turning 70. She had some pictures with some of her childhood friends that came and traveled for this party. Like, that's what we doing. That's what we doing. That's what I'm, you know, put me on the train. Like, let me get there. Mm-hmm. How about you, Lex? How they moving over there?
So last year I had over 3 residents on my floor that was centenarian, so over 100 years old.
Wow.
And so wow. Yeah.
As funky as all get down, weren't they?
Right. And so, like you said, they're living longer. I've been in long-term care, you know, like I said earlier, for several years now. And as I go on, I see them, you know, the life expectancy is just going higher and higher. So right now I manage this personal care floor, and my average age is over 90 years old. That wasn't heard of 5 years ago, honestly, you know, and 10, definitely anything longer than that, but they're living. And I mean, in very good conditions. You know, we have some they have the different issues that come with aging. But for the most part, you know, these residents are in good care. And so it makes you have to sit there and think, because now with them older and they have children, their children are older as well. And so now as technology, goes on. So now we're trying to keep these residents' children, who are typically older, hip to the technology that's going on. So it's just, as the aging population, the life expectancy continues to grow, it just comes with different, I won't say issues, but different things that you have to work around, because we weren't prepared for this beforehand. And so now we're trying to figure out how to prepare.
So I'm going to come back to you, Alexis, because what, as an individual, this is the work that you do. Like, I have my elders come in. I still don't know why they trust me to be their therapist, but they love me. I haven't lost the LD yet. Listen, and I am 42 years old. And, you know, so I was like, but okay, we're going to roll with it. And my oldest client has been like 87 years old. I'm like, I am so like, not, I don't even feel equipped to help you.
That part.
Like, she caught the bus to see me, and she was adamant about it. She didn't want her children to bring her. She went to the mall like every day, because she said, that's what I got to do. I got my pension and I like to shop and I like to be cute. She came in here with her coach. No problem.
She going to the mall to shop every day, Margaret. Now, yeah, the people go,
she was mad at coach.
To the mall here living. Because they walk. And you telling me they going to the mall and they going to shop. Lord have mercy.
Yeah, she was living at COVID. She was hot about COVID. She was like, I hate COVID. COVID interrupted me. And I'm like, COVID interrupted you? I'm like, wow. She was like, I'm interrupted. I can't do anything. You know, I can't ride the bus. And now my daughter, like when COVID hit, now, you know, she couldn't ride the bus anymore. So our daughter had to bring her son. We was like, riding with her, she boring. I was like, so, you know. And I'm like, what?
I'm here for it.
She explained some of what gave her life. And Alexis, if you know, maybe you can speak to it. She said, what gave her life was that she was losing those around her.
Right.
Which pushed her to live. Like, she was like, mm-hmm. She lost her brother and her sister, and her husband passed away. And she said, but I got a lot of life left. I'm not ready to join them. And so she found a community of people where she lived. It was a community of people who were elders. And she said, we have fun. Like, we do things. It's not,
I love it.
Stop living. So is it, Alexis, the community that elders are living? They're finding their own communities now. Like, they're not sitting at home, rocking in a chair, waiting on us to come ask some questions. That is not the elder of today.
Mm-hmm. And I think the community just has such a huge impact on the longevity of their life, because now you're around people that's like-minded, you know, and you're not stagnant. So you're not sitting at home as some of our ancestors did, rocking in their chair. We're moving around. So we offer exercises for my residents several days a week, every week. We have bingo because they love their bingo every week, multiple times. We have these different activities because that is what they like. I have a resident who also could not stand COVID, can't stand COVID, because it stopped them from being able to get on the bus and go to do the shopping, because I want to go walk around Hamrick's and Belts and shop because that's what I want to do. Well, now you can't. And so now we've stopped you and limited you on what you can do for your safety. And now you have had some decline because you're not moving around as much. That movement, that community piece is so, so important. Do you have to stay in a retirement home? No. Do you have to be at a personal care home? No. There are senior centers out there. There's adult daycares that are out there now. They're thriving, you know, just so you can go around and be around some other people, talk, get your little girlfriend, boyfriend, because that do still exist at this age.
Listen, Linda.
I'm going over there in just a minute.
But that community is important.
Yeah, so can you explain a little bit, and then Liv, I'm gonna ask you a question. Can you explain a little bit about adult daycare? My idea of adult daycare, because when I started this work, Lord, 20 years ago, when I started this work, if we were applying for someone to go to adult daycare, if we did like an adult protective service call, adult daycare normally went for someone who had dementia or someone who had no family, and this is like they there and then they go back to their home. Like, what is adult daycare now? Because I just found out recently it's not what it was in the year 2000 when I started doing this work as an intern at Valdosta State University. Like, it is something different now. So can you tell us what that looks like?
So day adult daycare is daycare. It's child care. Like, we drop our kids off at daycare. It is that for adults. So they have games. They have different things. They sit around and they gossip and they talk about who doing, you know, what and how they not doing this and the food nasty, the food cold, you know, all that different stuff. But they sit, but it is, it's an organized program and it's open Monday through Friday, typically like business hours. It's about 7 to 6, just kind of depends on what it is. There's some larger ones and some smaller ones. So there are some type where it's situated kind of like in a home where they've adjusted to be adult daycare. So, and then they also have buildings where they rent, where it's a big one. So it just kind of depends on what are the needs. And then there are different ones. So there is a daycare locally here in Augusta where we're at, for those that are do have Alzheimer's and dementia diagnoses. But then there are other options for those who are just aging and want to get out.
Oh Lord, like it's totally different.
They feed them, they get their breakfast, they get their lunch, they get their snack, you know.
I was like, please let me go. Because that's exactly what I heard. Like, I get to go, basically, I chill all day until somebody come pick me up and I talk about them. That's what.
And they also have a bus. Some of them have buses.
Man, so
they get picked up and dropped off.
All right. So yeah, I hope that y'all are listening. Again, we're talking about elder wellness in the Black faith community. Our elders are living, like they're not. So New York Times wrote an expose about 5 years ago, and we are seeing the effects of this expose. And it said black people are still dying at a higher rate. We know that to be true. But overall, it's not from overall, black people are actually living longer, and this was 2017. So 2023, we're finding, yeah, that the research is true, because the hypothesis in this expose was like the gap is narrowing, and we found that. I can't wait to see the studies for 2023 around African Americans living longer, because we start to work. And they said the reason it was dropping is because we are making it known in our communities around heart disease. We're making it known about diabetes. We're changing our diets. We're no longer on the diets that our forefathers had, because it's all they had. We are getting to find out that it's okay to go to the bar at Whole Foods. And I mean, I go to Whole Foods and eat sometimes, and my elders be right there. Right before they go to their gym or whatever they're about
water
to do.
Aerobics.
Right. They do. And they're like, I'm eating healthier. You know, we found out what clogged the arteries, and they started to listen. So we are now seeing that the hypothesis is becoming accurate. Like, you know, we're living, the lifespan is there. It's recent research from 2020 that shows that black women and white women are running neck and neck on lifespan past 65. So, oh, that used to be way low. The expectancy when I first started this work for black women, they died at 65. That was literally what was going on in the late 90s, early 2000s, was that it was expected for a black woman to pass in her mid-60s because of the toil on her body. And we're finding out that black women are living at a rate with white women right now. So they're living in their 70s. And into their 80s, into their 90s, and so experiencing life. So, Olivia, how are you seeing this in the church community with our elders? Because it's all I have is an image of all the deacons that like got on one knee and needed help getting up after they prayed. Deacons don't look like deacons used to look. I'm so glad it's all women out here. The male deacons be looking like what? I mean, they, I'm like, oh. You 70? Like, okay.
Right.
They're like, yeah, they look amazing. So how are you seeing that in, where, and they look amazing and they have love lives. So what are you seeing going on?
I think one of the key things is just what you said is that, you know, we are more inclusive and more intentional about being intergenerational now, right? Mm-hmm. So this is the result of the church, you know, people not deciding that, okay, all I'm going to do is show up and look pretty. I done made it to the mother of the church status, so I'm just going to show up and look, you know, pretty on the pew. But instead, they are working. They are, and I'm seeing that even in my own church community, for sure, they are still very much active, very much integral in in the life of the ministry, in private practice. I see them actually coming into practice, as you mentioned earlier, desiring something different, wanting a different legacy for their children and their children's children. I'm seeing them being ready, you know, in conferences and things like that. They're the ones that's coming up and ready to have conversations, hard conversations about things that their mothers inform. You know, something you said just a minute ago, and you were like, when you were talking about the diet, like what they ate some of the things that they did out of necessity, right? So like some of the things that we consider to be, you know, delicacies, like I love me a good, you know, seafood gumbo. But do you know that the origins of seafood gumbo was when our ancestors had to get the scraps from the overseer's table and the scraps from the field, and they got a little water and they poured it in a pot and they stirred that stuff up and made magic, right? That's so we're eating what was they did what they had to do, right? Out of necessity. They ate what they ate out of necessity, right? And so we're now at a place where we are shifting what is necessary, and we have options, you know, in terms of, so Phyllis is saying we froze. I don't know if you see that, but we have options now. We have the opportunity to choose what we're going to eat, to choose what we're going to be involved in, to if they don't have a party for us, we can throw our own party, because that's what we want to do. That's the attitude, or that's the mindset that I see a lot of our elders, you know, moving in. I have an aunt that, and she may be on, she just celebrated a birthday earlier this week. And when I tell you, she is just the spunkiest, the flyest, you know, sweetest little auntie that you can never know. She walked around with a tiara on her head for the whole day with her, you know, for celebrating her birthday or what have you. That's what she is showing me, what to look forward to, how I'm going to be showing up, because I ain't going to be no good. You know, you ain't going to tell me nothing. You can't holler, you know, you ain't going to tell me nothing. Let me just come through.
And I'm thinking, you know, because I live in a community where I'm going to be 42 in 2 months, and I'm still seen as little, whoever I am to them, little Dutch, right? So, you know, and I'm sitting here like, I'm 42. Then one, I'm not little, and then I'm absolutely grown. But then I'm thinking like, wow, just as Alexa said earlier, like, you know, we're getting older too. So like, what does this look like in this longevity? Because if they're surpassing the statistic, then they're also, for me, you know, they're also seeing what is becoming of Black bodies. And, you know, we don't know how that's affecting them. We don't know what that looks like, because they're watching those that are younger than them die, and they're dying at the hand of violence. They're not necessarily dying because of disease or things like that. So I wonder if you guys had to run into any of that with individuals living to 100 and still having to recall their life. You know, like King would have been, King, my grandmother, yeah. What was he? Would have been 97? Am I right about that age? Yeah. So, you know, things are still going on the same way they were going on when he lost his life in such a violent way. So have elders been able to speak to that, as they are too, you know, this is talking about their emotional wellness. How are they sitting with watching Black lives leave, not because they're sick, but in such a violent way? How are y'all handling that in where you are?
So I do have a mixed demographic, and so I have to sometimes steer conversations one way or other, based off of whatever is going on. But I will spend time. I've spent time with them, you know, personally in their rooms and different things. And have conversations and as they reflect on how, you know, one was a nurse and how they overcame different things, and then how now they see as their legacy continue to deal with some of these same very issues that are still around. And so that just makes them think, just goodness, we're still here. It's not better. Like, we're still here. We're still facing these different things just in a different way. And how do, so it's definitely been a challenge. So you just, oftentimes I just sit there and I listen to them and, you know, just reflect, because that's what they need, is just to kind of sit there and talk it out, talk through those emotions as different things go on, as different things come across the TV, you know, as news hits, this is this and it happened. And so, and they just sit there and they just think and they reflect.
And I think even that, Margaret, to Alexis's point, is such a key thing. We're having conversations that we haven't had before, right? I see us in, again, this intergenerational conversations that would not have happened even, I was getting ready to say 20 or 30 years ago, but I would say even 10 and 15 years ago, conversations that, you know, that would not be taking place. And I think that there's power in that, as Alexis is stating, is, you know, creating the space so that we can have we can have the hard conversations. People are saying what they want to say, you know, what they have been wanting to say. And I would suggest that even that plays a role in the longevity of our lives. When you think about how much we internalize and we keep to ourselves and don't, you know, let out, right? And you think about how much we're carrying all of these stressors. Dr. Mitzi Smith just posted, I want to say yesterday or today, about how people say Black, and I'm paraphrasing, but she says, you know, people are always saying Black don't crack. But in fact, internally, there's a lot going on. So yes, we're looking good here. But if we are not taking care of ourselves and our bodies, if we're not, you know, being able to relieve this stress and these concerns that we have, then that's going to cut us short.
Mm-hmm. So I had to go through and I looked through the work of Emily Towns, Breaking the Fine Rain of Death. And she's speaking to the mental health issue. And this is overall, and the question is posed, she quoted someone, you know, if clinicians think that Blacks are not supposed to get depressed, then that's why we sit in a space that we're undiagnosed, or that it's underdiagnosed. Mm-hmm. Two, you know, Black people struggle with depression, and it's also one of the number one issues in America. Like, literally, it's one of the highest diagnoses you can get in America. And so what happens when we're watching, because again, we're talking about elders living longer, mm-hmm. but they're also mm-hmm. witnessing this violence that they have to relive. Right. And so what happens when the disengagement looks unhealthy, because we're not recognizing Black people do get depressed. Black people do carry weight. We're not honoring Deuteronomy for my pastors watching tonight. We're not sitting around telling the story and keeping that thing going so that we don't repeat history. Mm-hmm. We love the Exodus story till we get to Deuteronomy, is one of the hardest books that preachers will preach about prosperity out of that thing so quick, but won't talk about. Let's tell the story.
Come on.
Let's talk about how we got stuck walking around the same mountain till God finally got pissed off. I'll say it was like, I'm gonna walk you through, because God, y'all keep, we don't, so we keep living, but now we're reliving the story and living longer. Mm-hmm. And so we're watching the pain of that. And that's why, you know, I brought that up. I'm glad y'all brought up these issues of I have to sit in rooms and listen to people talk about it. Like, you know, or we're inviting our elders to hold a story and like what's eating them up, you know. And I'm curious to know if it's eating them up or if it's the very thing that's keeping them going, because they want to rewrite history. Mm-hmm. I want to. So I'm going to live a little bit longer so I can rewrite this designation that's put on me. I'm supposed to die at 65. I can't live out my 70. Now I'm going to push through to live. But then here's the silence about health, and here's the silence about things that are underdiagnosed or not diagnosed at all for our Black elders. And like, what does that look like in our communities, in Black faith communities? Because what Black faith communities won't offer to that's offered by Dr. Towns is we will not offer this full picture of health, but we will give productions of health about health, but we won't offer or create space for our elders to have access, for our Black people, period, to have access. I've seen one church, and I've seen other churches have health clinics and mental health clinics. I've seen one church put it in action, and walking through that church and seeing that they separated their health clinic from the mental health clinic, had a gym inside of the church, had wellness classes around food inside of the church, like had a whole huge industrial kitchen. So we're not only going to look at your cholesterol rate, but then we're going to talk about how is this affecting you and your movement through mental health. Then we're going to invite you to join the gym at a low cost that you just giving back to the church. And then we're going to offer free classes for food, though, so you at 65 and 70 can learn how to cook, because I know you love what you eat, but I bet we add some years to you by teaching you how to cook. And what was innovative, they in the West Coast and it's legal, but they also taught about the medicinal purposes of particular substances to the elders, not to the young people. Like, this can help you with, and what does it look like to put this here? And so this particular church in Oakland, it was amazing to watch. And the leaders of the church, they too are now in elder status. And they said, we want to live.
Yes.
We want to live. So if we want to live, we want to invite our community. And they made sure to separate it in the conversation. Our community. And I was like, me. They said, no, our community. Our community is 65 and up. We want to live longer. And so one is now in her 80s. The other is approaching 70, and they living well, like me living. And so, but they also started to offer this and mentioned and brought up and started talking about the invisibility of what we don't, and they're watching their congregation extend their life too. So, you know, I said we was gonna get to it. I think a lot of people finna hop on that. We finna see the numbers.
Well, before you go there, one other piece that just came up, even as you were saying that, you know, just talking about the medical part of it, right? One of the other things I think is really important to note is that we as a people are much more empowered to go into places and basically to speak truth to power now. So there was a time when whatever the doctor said, that's it. You know, we just gonna go with whatever, and we believe in King Jesus and, you know, nobody else, all of the things, right? But now, not only are our elders going into these doctor visits and asking more questions, requiring second opinions and all of the things, now they are bringing their children and grandchildren to the appointments with them as reinforcements, because what you're not going to do is put me on all these different medications or let me be your guinea pig, because no, right?
I don't want to move fast, because what does that look like to invite? My grandmother was very adamant. She didn't want people in there with her because she didn't want us to know what the doctors were asking her to do. She wanted to look strong. So thank you, Dr. Shaniqua Walker-Barnes, for inviting us not to be these strong Black women that they created. Yeah. Like, you can be yourself. But I wish my grandmother had known that, because I got to be strong for my family. I truly believe my grandmother could have extended her years if she had just let us sit in the doctor's appointment. But HIPAA is real. So even if I went in there, the doctor just stopped talking. He was like, I can't tell you nothing. So I'm sitting there looking at her like, something's going on, because this, you could get your kidneys checked, should take this hour that we sitting in. So something is serious, you know, and she had, it was severe, and she didn't want to tell anybody. So now that you're saying that, Leah, that's crazy. Like, I want you to go to the doctor. My mother is completely different. My mother is 65. It's like, can you cancel your clients and go to the doctor with me? And if you can,
you better
on the phone. I need you to hear too. And my mother has extended her years. She's 65, but she's extended them, because I'm going to sit on the phone, listen to what they're saying. What I mean, and I, I know about medical, but I need you to hear. I need a second ear because you're trying to tell me that my cancer cells are different than the other lady cancer cells. I mean, but everybody precancerous around here. So what's different than mine? I mean, like, tell me what's going on. This is what you announcing versus hiding it. You said that earlier, keeping stuff in will kill you. Mm-hmm. Period. Keeping stuff in will kill you. And I'm finding a trend in our faith communities. It was at the end of last year, and y'all see my face because I was like, who decided to type that and think it was okay? But the comment was, if you put it out there, the devil has more power to work with it. I said, where is that in the Bible? Please tell me what it is in the Bible.
Yeah, I
was like, no, leader. That's not true. If I put it out there, Deuteronomy offers that to us. I'll go read Deuteronomy chapter 6-8. If I tell the story, then the children will know the story and we can keep the history of the story. If we had never heard of the Tuskegee experiment, then we would still be walking around getting getting fake medicine and getting tested for syphilis because they didn't gave it to us. I'd be like, nobody would have stopped that. If we wouldn't have had someone speak up about heart conditions and announce that a black man was the first man that actually was the one to bring a heart back, not the white guy, then we wouldn't have had movies to do that. We wouldn't have heard about Henrietta Leaks. We wouldn't have heard about any of that, right? So keep the story. And that comes down to even what you might consider to be a micro scale of tell your children about what's going on, what's in your blood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's in there?
Because that's also how the next generation prepare, because I know this is, you know, when you go into the doctor and they say, list all these things, you know, that's going on in your family history. If you don't have no history, you don't know about it. How you going to make the needed adjustments for you to be better?
Right. So that's the other beauty of this length, the lengthening or the longing of years. Is people are now finding that out. The other thing I'm discovering too, I'm glad we didn't move too fast, is people are finding out who they really kin to. So black folks, we got secrets. Yes, I love Elder Wynn. Because you're finding out that your uncle really your brother. You know, you're like, oh. But I'm glad they living longer. Like, well, yeah, this is what happened. So now I can see, okay, why did this illness exist? I'm finding out that my cousin raised me and that's been my mama. But my mama's really over here, and I thought she was my first cousin. I mean, they're living longer. And so with a generation passing, people are now being honest about, I'm really a relative of yours. And so this could be what's going on. This could be if you're dealing with depression and anxiety, my whole family got it. You look just like us, you know, go do that. I had a relative that did that before he passed. You know, he went and found his brothers. You know, and he waited till his mother passed. And he was like, I don't want to disrespect her, but I know in my heart that who she says is my father is not. And so I'm going to go look for it. And he did. And he found the information. And he was able to, before he passed, to know more about his conditions. And so he, too, put years on his life because he found out, no, this is my blood type. And this is why I'm connected to it, which led the individuals that he met. They take really good care of their health because they knew about what was going on with them. And so, you know, I thank you for saying that. As we sit with it, it is okay to tell the story. I'm not encouraging you to go out and tell your family business. That's not what I'm saying tonight. Like, go out there and put the secret. That's gossip. I am saying tell the story, which means let's see how we can lengthen our years. And move in that promise of God to live 70 years or longer, to live out maybe 120. You got people who are literally living, they 106 and they still driving just fine. Like I've witnessed it. I'm like, you what?
And that's the thing. We don't want to just live longer. We want to thrive longer.
We want to thrive longer.
We want to thrive. Uh-huh.
I mean, you have, I knew someone, her grandmother passed, I think at 102, but was able to meet generations of great, great, great grandchildren and able to tell the story of the family down to health. She changed her health. She witnessed some of her children pass because they didn't change their health, but she changed her health. She changed how she ate. And the beauty of who she was is she made sure she had a scoop of ice cream once a week. I love talking to her. I thought she was like, I still go get my scoop of ice cream once a week. And I'm like, and so she said, but I realized.
Live, mother, live.
And she lived, but she's like, I realized that all the other stuff, it tastes good. It reminds me of my mother. It reminds me of my growing, but it is not healthy for my body. And mm-hmm. so she lived to 102, you know, and was in her right mind. And so this, again, as to what does it look like, elder wellness in African-American community, in Black faith community, yeah, it's huge. It's beyond end of life planning. Mm-hmm. Like, what is future life planning? Because that's what some of our elders are asking for. So as we progress, our elders are living. Like, you, they're living well. Like, they get married. They are creating community for themselves. Mm-hmm. I just witnessed, and this was not a community of color, but what I witnessed was beautiful, and I wish community of colors could do this, is this particular community, they did co-op. And so most of the people in the community are 60 and up. And so they have, I can't even count how many, I think it's about 4 or 5 homes that they built. And inside of these 4 or 5 homes, because they just like regular houses, I felt like I was in a Rubik's Cube. I mean, these people got like 3-bedroom homes inside of these buildings. But they are co-op. In that co-op, that you have married couples, you have singles, but they have community meals, they have community gatherings, they have community worship, they have all of that, because they realized in the communities that they were living in, we don't have connection. We don't get this opportunity to move. And in that community, they also have younger generations. And so children are being around grandparents, great-grandparents, they're learning. And so this community is mixed with white people, Jewish, another ethnic group there. But I was sitting there, and to be invited into this community, of course, my therapy brain was going like, man, this can really exist. But then I thought, what would this look like in Black community? Because some of these people met inside of the community, and they would get married. Like, they got pictures of 70-year-olds getting married. Like, and I'm like, what? Like, because they were widowers. Like, no, I'm still breathing. I'm still here, and I fell in love with this person.
That's it. We
about to make a life together. Make what life? You 70. That's what my brain went. But I'm like, you know what? Y'all got so many years left. Y'all probably finna go make a life. Like, to witness, it was a couple that's there, a couple that hosted us. They went to Antarctica. Y'all, I am always cold. And I was looking at the little video, and I was like, who goes in their 60s to Antarctica? These people, they was like, well, we have nothing, you know, we right at retirement. They work because they want to. So they took 2 weeks with Antarctica. They was like, it was summer there, it was 30 degrees, but it was summer there. But this is how, and it sparked more love for them. So how are we managing in communities? Because this was not a community of color. So Black faith community. How are we managing our elders still finding love and relationship? How are you dealing with that, Alexis? Alexis probably got that.
I'm going for Alexis because she got stories.
It's on Alexis.
Yeah. So it's so funny. I have a resident who's a former resident who's been married a couple of times. And so this resident isn't with my floor anymore, but they came to visit one day. And, you know, y'all, this population is messy, okay? They gonna say whatever they want.
Else is messy, girl. No, don't
listen.
Messy. I'm
so they came. She came to visit, and they said, "You got married yet again?" Because she had been married more than once and found love later on in life. And she said, "No, I haven't found me one to hold on to yet, but I'm working on it." So.
So get like, and I mean, in a minute.
Listen, so they are still looking for love, and if a man moves in, because the thing too about this is, we don't have many men that are moving into these type of communities. There's always more women. You know, the life expectancy has always said, well, you know, women living longer, blah blah blah. But also our men, they're staying at home. They really don't know about this. And I think we need to do a better job of one, especially as a Black community, is preparing for this. Because when I look at my ratio, you know, the Black community is always outnumbered. And so we just need to do a better job of, I guess, preparing them for them to live there. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if a man walk in there, no matter what race they are, and let them be good looking, and then if they got some money, oh, it's a fight. It's an issue. Now they going back and forth. We got them arguing, and them like, oh, it's on and popping now, because they don't want it. They're like, look, I'm older, but I'm not dead.
Girl, and things are still working. They're still working. And if they're not working, there's a medication for that. Yes. I'm trying to tell you.
I'm curious to know why this topic is so bad. Like, why? Because when you call the elders messy, I don't even know how to take that off the recording. I don't even know how to put that up. Y'all know this is a podcast. We call the elders messy.
I'm telling you, you got to sit down there and have a conversation with a group of them. And you gonna get all the tea. So Lexus, what's going on? I said, well, you tell me what's going on. And she gonna tell, you know,
you talking about people 65 and up got tea. They do. I'm just saying, they got all the tea. They be talking about everybody, child, grandbaby, and them. But that's, again, that's life. Like, they living, right? So I don't know why.
And that's this what keeps them young. They gives them something to talk about.
Keeps them young. So I don't know why this topic is hard. It's hard in my session. So for the elders I work with, you know, they've come in that COVID really took them out. Like, they quit. They couldn't date. They couldn't go do things. In my home area, we have senior centers. And so they have, like, they Valentine's Day dance. They have, like, date night. They have all of this, like, where they can meet each other and pair up. Like, they get married at 70 and 80 years old. Like, I found the love of my life. They also very active before then. I've had them come in and say, well, I'm active because I can't get her pregnant. Like, and I look like, what you just say to me?
Absolutely.
She ain't got nothing down there. We finna have a good time. I'm like, oh, okay. That's what you did mean, what you just said. Mm-hmm. You know, but then it's coming to teaching. Black faith community hear it. Because Alexis, if she ain't lying at all, I don't know why we're afraid to teach this. They also have an increase in STIs.
Yep.
Yes. That demographic has the highest amount of diagnosed STIs. Absolutely.
Yep, I was getting ready to say that because of the community, so that it spreads like wildfire. And I think it also has to do with, like I said, going back to that men piece, there's not that many options, you know, especially in those community areas. So now you're spreading around more and more, you know. So, but yeah, it's higher.
And so, you know, the other thing I think is really interesting, you know, I work primarily with Black women. That's my general, you know, my demographic professionally. And it's interesting to have, you know, tying into what Alexis is saying is that these vibrant Black women are searching for partners that, you know, in order to have their needs met, right? And you also, like, can we talk about it? No, can we talk about how, you know, this hypersexualization of Black women is so ingrained in our communities, and so we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to, we're conditioned to pretend like it doesn't exist, or to pretend like, oh, that's nasty, or that's not good, and all of the things, right? So we're afraid to have real conversations about, like, yeah, my libido is still going strong. I mean, it doesn't have, age ain't nothing but a number, right? And so being able to, they're in this interesting place, and we're talking about this 65 and older, they're in this interesting place where, okay, my partner, my lifelong partner, I've outlived him, and I still have needs, but what do I do about that? Who can I talk? I'm even ashamed to go and tell that to my doctor. So what do I do about this particular, you know, these are the conversations that we've got to have. Estate planning and all that is real good. It's necessary. We got to talk about this, but what do we, you know, how are we, creating space, creating community for, and I'm, you know, speaking specifically to, regarding the sisters, for these sisters to to be able to become more confident and willing to have conversations about what it is that they need and that they desire, right?
Yes. And I think that's a part of Black pain, mm-hmm. is that we cannot talk about this. There's a book called Black Pain. Y'all go get that book. I like to read. But this is just historical, what I'm about to say about this pain. This is if we didn't, well, it's not almost. We didn't get the history that our bodies were sacred. We didn't get the history that our bodies were important. We got the history that our bodies were useful for service. Animalistic, right? So I believe we carry that over into our faith community, that we are servants of God, and use me to use me up. And what, yeah, I mean, it, you know, and, but we don't offer how we can have longevity in our life. Even in our music, in our sacred music, we invite ourselves to heaven. I'm ready to get out of here. Because it's always this moment of escape. And as we live in longevity, we're not escaping anymore. Like, I actually want to be here. I live. So, you know, just some curiosity. And y'all bounce with me. I wonder, is that the issue with Black faith communities, particularly the Black church, why we don't need to have this conversation? Like, you know, because we live in the day. But that's not the trend. That's not the case anymore. We're living the threat.
Right.
And so, you know, having this conversation, saying it, using correct terms. I promise you, I'm 42 and still around my elders. It's the woo-hi. The same thing. You know, versus some of our elders, that's all they've known is their pocketbook.
That's it. That's
you know.
And can't talk about anything more than that. And that the pocketbook is for them. Yeah. The pocketbook is for, you know, they've been conditioned so much so, like, you know, all this purity culture and all of that. And so many of them got married, you know, really young and this, that, and the other, may have stayed with, you know, their partner for umpteen years and this, that, and the other, then outlived them. So they may have never been pleasured before because they were so conditioned to be the pleasurer. Right,
I'm gonna give credit where credit is due. Dr. Sherry Brown Jackson murdered us in October when she said this. She said, I am now an elder in my community, and I'm just not realizing that my body is mine. So, all the needs of my body are actually for me. The pleasure principle is for me, how I taste is for me, how I smell is for me, how I sense things is for me, and not serve. To produce for them. Our elders are getting that. It's now a tangible thing. So we absolutely got to bring this into our faith community. If not, we keep making something a stigma that shouldn't be. Like, you should be able to love how you love and be how you be and know that it's for you.
And be, yes.
And so
that's why.
Alexis, how are y'all doing that? I know y'all are not a faith community, but I just, in my mind, believe our Black elders, they, I don't know, maybe I'm generalizing, but they love the Lord. They going to sing a hymn and go on a date. Like, so how are y'all speaking to that? Because some of this is taboo for them. They living longer and they tickling each other and walking around and you see the cute Black love, but it's like they still don't know how to express this. And make it a part of their wellness.
So in this generation, because they're typically, you know, like you said, they're stuck in their ways. So we meet them where they at. So, you know, I have had many of them say my pocketbook still, you know, and we know what that pocketbook is, you know, and adapt from there. But we're just meeting them where they're at and allowing them to, you know, express whatever concern. So when we're talking about my pocketbook and they have these different issues, well, let's talk about it. You don't have to give me a general, you know, blah blah blah. Let's talk about it so we can fix whatever is going on with that. You know, let's have a conversation. You can talk about it and go from there. But meeting the biggest thing is meeting them where they at and going down their pace, not forcing it, because like you said, they are just going to automatically do what they've been doing for so long. So changing their mind and restructuring their framework is a whole lot harder than just meeting them where they're at, and let's grow from there little by little. And let's open up. Let's make you comfortable to continue to have conversations so that whatever need that you may have can get met. Ooh.
I don't know, Olivia, if we do that in the church. Like, I know Alexa, she in a space where she can. But I have, in 40-something years, I haven't heard the church have a dedicated moment for our elders around health, period, just being honest. Like they might have something, and then it's like literally a Sunday, 5 minutes, you at the podium next to the pulpit, and you got 5 minutes to talk about it. But I've never been able to see that, especially in Black faith space, where we come in and we talk about what is going on in your productive areas. Like, because the case is, it's like that 65-year-old man told me, I can't get her pregnant. So we about to have a good time. And I'm like, oh, okay. But there's other things going on. So how have you seen it? Have you seen it approached in Black faith community at all?
Absolutely not. And what's funny is you know, you can see it, you know, the discussion being had. Like we had, I'm trying to resist saying her name, but, you know, we had this real fancy young lady who would always attend. She was always dressed to the nines and would attend any function that we had, you know, ready to party and this and the other. She loved the dance, just really vibrant. And, you know, she was funky enough to say what she meant and mean what she said, right? And so you had those, you know, those isolated ones, and so you knew, but the assumption was that she was the anomaly, right? Mm-hmm. That it was just maybe her and one or two other people that they're spicy or whatever the case is, right? When really she was just the one that was bold enough to have the conversations and to say the things right that she wanted to say, right? And I can remember specifically being in leading a women's Bible study group and her being in the class, and there being a couple of other elders in there too. And when she would say these things about, you know, wanting to be partnered and all of that kind of stuff, and I ain't dead yet, you know, type of thing. Things are still living and moving, right? And when she would say this, there was a consensus where in those private, intimate moments where, oh, yeah, you're right. Me too. Now, but when she was old and doing that in the open spaces, it was just kind of like, you know, kind of this shyness, this let me peek to the side. Let me pretend. Let me not laugh too hard, lest they know I'm over here hot and bothered too. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like really being able to create the spaces for that, I don't know that we have done that effectively. I don't know that we're having the conversation. I don't know that we are even, and I'm using we in a general sense, I don't know that we are even comfortable enough with our own bodies and selves and stuff to be able to foster these conversations. Because before I can really talk to you about your sexual freedom, I need to be free in my own sexual freedom, right? Drink your tea. Drink it. Yeah. Because I can't set you free lest I be free first.
Lord, with a T. Y'all. And because this is about elder wellness, but again, we are aging with our elders. Mm-hmm. So we looking at it too. Like I'm thinking like 42... literally in 20 years, I'm gonna have this conversation about myself. Like, I mean, I'm gonna be right there, you know. 55 Kroger give you that senior citizen discount. I mean, I'm it's coming quick, you know. So but you're right, like, you're not comfortable with our own bodies. And for me, you know, Black community, how can we become? Because the ones, the individuals who put it out there, you know, and I know some individuals, they do this. Like they offer sex education classes, the churches, it's a whole thing. It's a rare occasion that you see a church take them up on it because that's just not right. But what would it look like if we did find our bodies to be divine? Dr. Iris Session brought that in October at the conference. What if you could find your body to be divine?
Yeah.
And she was speaking from a womanist perspective, but she's speaking for Black people. Like, what if you woke up one day and realized my body's divine? And so everything that goes to my body is going to increase that divinity or decrease that divinity. So I'm responsible for what flows in and out. And maybe we can have these conversations they'll be a little bit lighter. Mm-hmm. They won't turn into something that, I gotta hide out when somebody actually says that this is a need she has. And I gotta pull away from that. Or I can't believe that was even mentioned. You know, and Dr. Velma Love wrote a whole book, and it's from the aspect of Ifar, African spirituality. But the question is to all of us, how are we really divining, not defining, but seeing ourselves as sacred? I'm made in the image of God. And this is a God conversation. It has to be had. Because God made that as a part of our life. And in all of the wellness, even beyond our elders, but tonight the focus is elders. What does it look like to grow old healthy? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think we've touched what we could in an hour, but what does it look like to grow? I want people to leave that. Keep these conversations going in your homes. Keep these conversations going in your faith communities. Keep these conversations going where you work. Like, ask that question. Like, what does it look like to grow old healthy? Mm-hmm. We ask the question, what does it like to grow old? Like, well, I got gray. Like, the front of my locks got all kind of gray in them. And I love it. I wouldn't die for nothing. You know, my knees hurt. They make sounds in the morning. Let me know I'm woke. I mean, all of that. You know, all of that. But what's it like for me to grow old healthy? Like, what would it look like for me? Dr. Valerie Bridgman she just had her birthday, right? And she amazes me. I love her. Like, I love her. She's like a mom in ministry for me. Well, I say I love Dr. Valerie Bridgman because this lady out here running marathons. This is what it looked like to grow old healthy. I see you. Yes.
Running marathon. And did you see where she recently was trying to learn how to bake a sweet potato pie that was, and I might not use her words right, but that was kind to her A1C. And so she was looking for alternate, more healthy ways to do the things that she still loved to do. So,
Dr. Willita Gaffney, listen, another one. She'll tell you in a minute, I'm about to hit a beach because y'all not about to take me out. I'm about to live. What does it look like to grow old healthy? Like, what y'all not finna do in this Episcopal church, take me out, right? Y'all not about to take me. So I'm about to hit up Hawaii and have a good time and do what I want. You don't need to be in my business. I love it. Like, but these are the examples I have of elder wellness. Like, you're not taking me out. You know, who else? Dr. Pamela Light. See, she be right on here making her drinks.
living their best life.
And what you do, Dr. Randall Bailey, literally, we're like, we got to go get something to eat. Me and Jean about to roll out, so you know, come on.
And I think you have to sit there and think about too is what's their best life might look different than that's why someone else. Them. You know what I'm saying? I have one that says, just make sure I have me a gin and tonic, okay? If that's what's living your best life is doing. Have your gin and tonic. You know, I have another one that says, well, my heart doctor told me to have a glass of red wine. Well, have your glass of red wine. And it's just understanding that one's best life may be different. So, like, I sit down with my residents and we might have coffee and conversation sometime. Let's talk about how you can live your best life. What are some things that you want to see us do so you can live better? What are some things that you don't want to do? What are some things that's triggering? And then I always pull out some cognitive stuff. Like, let me stimulate your mind and let's really think and reflect on what your best life may look like.
Right.
And understand just because that's your best life, that's not going to be theirs. And it's not only about you. We're going to take turns so everybody can live their best life. How they may fit.
How it may fit. So, as we close, make it real churchy. As we close, is there anything that you all would like to? One, I would like for you all, if possible, to give your contact information, if it's okay for the community to contact you, to find out more, because this is the work that you do. And you have some answers that some people who are watching tonight they don't have. They like, I didn't even know that. I didn't know that. I didn't even think like that. And then two, what can you leave us with to care about our elders' wellness? Not what they're leaving behind. Like, they don't leave us an inheritance, but what are they moving forward? They still here.
Right.
Yeah. So whoever wants to start, Lexis, if you'd like to start.
So my parting, I guess, words will just be kind of what I was saying right beforehand is just, embracing and allowing whatever your obstacle is, that you're facing or whatever you want to do, embrace that and figure out a way how to go forward from that and be understanding of where you are, so focus on preparing for whatever, we're not living to die, as we talked about earlier, we're living to live. You've worked hard. You raised these kids. You did whatever you needed to do. This is your time to be free, and do what makes you happy. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And so planning for that and taking time to really reflect on what really makes you happy and being open and being free to do it, because it's your life to live. It's not ours. And we want you to live your life.
Live your life. I think I would add to that from my clinical perspective, the only thing I would add is it really is okay to intersect faith and mental health. And I the hashtag is Jesus in therapy, but I'm team Jesus, but I recognize that whatever your faith model is, whatever your divinity is, I'm willing to meet you at that place in order for you to live in the freedom of mental health. So if you don't have the community to be able to sort through your traumas, to sort through your unmet needs, to sort through the stories that people are trying to retell. If you don't have that community, create that community, whether that is with your own mental health professional, whether that is with a pastoral counselor that is trauma informed for real and not just hashtagging it, right? And shade intended. Rather it is your good sister girlfriend that you've been friends with since grade school, being able to sit down and tell her the truth and share your truth with her and invite her to share. And of course I'm centering this again with women, cause that's my natural go-to, but this applies also to other genders as well. But to be able to create the community that you need so that you can live well in all ways, that you not just physically, not in just medically, but also emotionally, to be able to live well for you and those coming behind you.
Y'all have showed up and showed out tonight. This is a healthy, holy conversation. I don't really have anything else to add except for, we have to promote this. People are teaching me how to do this. So if y'all enjoyed the conversation tonight, or you want to talk more about it or something you want to add to it, please send those requests to the email email you see on the screen. Also, if you have questions for Alexis or Olivia, they're going to send out the information. They're going to say it. But you also, if you don't catch it, please send them here, and this will be checked and sent to them, and we will get the follow-up. So the other thing is, people should not use their gifts and not get something for it. It bothers me, you know, because they gave out tonight and you didn't have to get it. So that sounds so mean. This will not be in the podcast. So but, you know, I do ask my guests if they put up their Cash App or whatnot. And I try to make sure that Healthy Holy Conversations is small, but we pour in. Because tonight's conversation was big. It ranged for wellness. I am a mental health professional, but, you know, the totality of our health is biopsychosocial spiritual. Or in other words, it's your physical, your emotional, who you hang out with, and then, you know, the spiritual space is the totality of who we are. And tonight we talked about this for our elders, and we invited people to see they're living. Like, they're not living to die. Like, they literally are catching boats, planes. They doing whatever they want to do. They're living their best life. And I dare you to try them on it. So I think it's great. Like, I love all the, we call it jazzy, but they really just, boom, like, hey, I'm alive too. Like, I'm living worse than half the elders in my life that I know. Let's just be clear. I'm working all the time. And they're like, yeah, I'm retired. My parents, literally, my mom and my bonus dad, they be like, oh yeah, well, we just not gonna do nothing today. We just gonna sit here and watch TV. I'm like, oh, that's what we doing today? Yeah, because we don't have to. So we love you. What are you doing? Yeah. I'm at work.
I've been there, done that. I'm done.
We flying to Antigua today. That's where my bonus dad's from. We flying to Antigua. You just woke up and decided to do that? Oh, we've been planning it. We didn't tell you. I mean, like, these are the things our elders are doing. So they're living their life. I'm like, okay, yeah. I mean, you can't really do that. So, you know, again, please support those that put in. So y'all put up your Cash Apps. Everybody always like won't do it. Like, anybody I have on here, they be like, not gonna do it. And I'm like, oh, okay, we're just not gonna do it. So I'll get that from them and I go back and add it. If they tell me I can. But what are your email addresses in case people want to get in contact with you?
I the easiest thing is just to tell you I am Olivia Tate on all. That's my handle. That's my website. So it's either www.iamoliviatate.com or @OliviaTate across all social media.
Okay, I put that in, and let's see if it went up. And for Alexis.
Okay, I'm not as easy, but it's AVP Williams 2@gmail.com.
I heard the young ladies tonight. Please contact them directly. And if not, this is what you can do, because you see, my people come on, y'all be so disobedient. Like, disobedient. That's all the pastor me. If y'all want to support Healthy Holy Conversations, please. Please don't be ashamed to send and Zelle. This is something that I put on through my private practice. Again, designate who you would like to give this money to, because they say he'll be a shy. But we want to make sure that we put into the hands.
We sowing seeds too. So we came from the same birth canal, and we understand the power
of sowing. We want seeds. Things to grow. That's the beauty of this conversation. We want things to grow. We talked about it, Olivia. It's a rare occasion that our elders get any recognition, for one, except for what they did in the past. And, you know, talking about our grandmamas and our granddaddies and stuff. Other than that, we don't talk about how they're living and they're thriving, and how they're moving and going. And we miss the story. Mm-hmm. We miss it. And so tonight we were able to talk about it. We even had, you know, people on here screaming like, yes, that, you know, I just joined the gym is what one of our watchers said. And I just joined the gym and I'm an elder and I'm finna go have fun. You know, the things that they can access, these are things that they can ask questions about, like silver sneakers. Some of y'all got Medicare. If you're watching tonight, if you don't use that free gym membership, I get jealous every time they take out my $20 from Planet Fitness. Can't wait to get silver sneakers. I can't wait. But these are things that wait to and build community, you know. And so, you know, I'm jealous of Joe Biden and that Corvette. He got smart with everybody. I love that man, Miles. He was so mad about that, them papers. But I'm just saying, We're watching our elders live. And so thank y'all for pouring into the conversation tonight. Thank you all for watching. This has been Healthy and Holy Conversations. Please, 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 please support. And however you do support, we are appreciative of it. So on behalf of MLC Consulting and Healthy Holy Conversations, we say good night. And this is the prayer tonight. We're going to say it real quick. I just pray that y'all respect your life and that you allow God to show you the beauty of your divinity from God's image. And that is the prayer. Y'all have a good night. Be blessed.